Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who haven't been here for all of the Lenten services, you should know that we have been studying and considering the miracles of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about 3 hours of darkness when Christ was on the cross from the sixth to the 12th hour. And we heard about the earthquake when Christ died. And we heard about the tearing of the temple curtain, a curtain that was about 4 inches thick and about 30 feet high. And it was torn from top to bottom. And we heard about the splitting of the rocks that left fissures that are still visible today. And we heard about the faith of the Roman soldiers when Christ died. It was they who recognized him as truly being the Son of God. And then on Friday night, we struggled to find a miracle, but we decided that the miracle was the miracle of God's love, that he sent his son to die for us. Well, the miracle for today is pretty obvious. Christ is risen. That's the miracle. That's the one we celebrate. In the gospel lesson for today, we hear about two Marys who go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body early the next morning. And when they get there, they first thought, well, what are we going to do to move that rock? And when they get there, there's an angel that has moved it and is sitting on the rock. And he says, I know why you're here. You're here for Jesus, but he has risen. Go and tell the other disciples that he has risen from the dead. And as they take off and start running, they run smack into Jesus. And they see who he is, and they worship him. What joy that must have been for them. What joy that is for us today. What joy that was for the disciples. That's the good news for today. Christ is risen from the dead, and we have salvation. So concerning that miracle for today, I would like to answer three questions. Rather, I would like to ask three questions, and let's see if there's an answer for those. We've already heard the question, first question, and the question is what? And that is, Christ is risen. The next question might be, so what? And the third question is, now what? Well, concerning that question, so what? Paul says in some other texts that he wrote, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This miracle today shows the power of God. And so the answer to that second question is pretty simple as well. So what? So what? Christ was born or was raised on this Sunday, and to those who believe in him, they have the promise of eternal life. So now that leaves us with the final question. Now what? Now what are we going to do? So Christ has risen. What impact does that have on your life? What are we supposed to do about that? What do we do this afternoon? What do we do tomorrow morning? What do we do the rest of our lives? How are we supposed to respond to this event that happened 2,000 years ago? As I read the lessons for today, I believe the answer to that question comes in the epistle lesson. Paul is writing to the Colossians. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'd like you to be thinking about what is it that answers that question, now what? So Paul writes to the Colossians, since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the treasures and the joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in a place of honor, on the rich treasures of the joys of heaven. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven, with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. So let's kind of take that apart and look at each individual phrase on its own. In the first sentence, Paul introduces his premise. He says, since you were alive again when Christ rose from the dead. In other places, Paul says, the wages of sin is death. And of course, that means because all of us are sinners, we will all eventually die at some point. But just as Christ died on the cross and rose again, so those who believe will also be able to rise again on the last day. Because of Christ's resurrection, there is eternal life for those who believe. And the second phrase really answers the question, or begins to answer the question, now what? Paul says, since you have became alive again when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven. But wait a minute, you might say. Paul, wait. I want to know what to do in this life. I want to know what to do this afternoon and tomorrow and next week. Am I supposed to change my investments? Am I supposed to buy that car? Should I get a new job? There's a ton of things that we wonder about in this life. How do I deal with all of those problems that I have, Paul? What are you saying here? Well, our problem is that we tend to focus very heavily on what's going on in this life. The problems that we have today and tomorrow occupy a great deal of our time. But Paul wants us to think about some more important kinds of things. He wants us to think about heavenly matters. Then he goes on in the next phrase, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. But Paul, I've got a job. I've got bills to pay. I've got a family to take care of. I don't have time to think about this heaven stuff all the time. Let's look at it this way. Paul is not saying that we should ignore all the problems in our lives today, but rather he is saying it's better if our thoughts are on the direction of heaven. It's better to follow God's commands. It's better to live a life worthy of a child of God, because then other things are going to start falling into place. And Paul goes on saying, you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. It almost sounds like Paul is making it harder. It's true, a person who has already died has no value, no connection to this world, no desire to continue to be here. My mother-in-law is 99 years with lots of health problems, and she said on many occasions, I'm ready to go. She's losing her connection, her desire to be part of this broken world that we live in. I suspect that at some point in our lives, we come to realize the futility of this world, and we decide that it's not worthy of our time any longer. And then Paul goes on, and when Christ, who is our real life, comes back, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. Paul doesn't consider us to be permanent residents of this earth. He considers that we are sojourners, that we are aliens. We are here traveling through to another destination called heaven. And we do well to put our focus there. So the next question might be, what does Paul want us to do? Well, what he's saying, I think, to us today is that he wants us to recognize that we focus too much on this broken and sinful world. He wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He wants us to follow Jesus' words written in Matthew. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus wants to have a closer relationship with you. He wants you to care for others. He wants you and me to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and visit the sick. He wants us to eliminate those sinful behaviors from our lives. He wants us to cultivate Christian virtues. Simply put, Jesus wants us to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. But you say, golly, I can't do all those things all the time. And I understand, I can't do all those things all the time either. Try as hard as I might, sin still enters your life and mine. So let me remind you why we are here today, and that is to celebrate Christ's resurrection, to remember that Christ died on the cross so that we might be saved. And so for that reason, we come to the Lord's table today. We come to receive the bread and the wine, his body and his blood. That's where we receive that forgiveness that we need. That's where he gives us newness of life each time. That's where we find the strength to put our focus on heaven, to lead our godly life as he would have us to do, to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and provide help to the poor. It's there where we find the strength to focus on heaven. That's when we remember that we can start all over each day with a clean slate because Christ has died and our sins are forgiven. And so today we celebrate Christ's resurrection. Today we receive a fresh start on our journey to heaven. And while we struggle with the disappointments and the brokenness of this world, we remember that our ultimate goal is not this world, but the next. And so we remember that because Christ is risen, as Paul says, we will someday follow him into paradise and shine with him and share with him in all his glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.